Chapter 15. Sheriff's Office.
So, Gordon said, looks like 9 dead altogether, 3 in the plaza, 6 in the mortuary.
A holo map of Luna City spread across the sheriff's desktop. A handful of red icons appeared, clustered in the 2 named locations. Each one had a few rows of data beneath it. One of the icons in the mortuary was a glowing red Osiris badge. Jake let out a huff of air.
9 isn't bad.
It's 3% of the population, said Tessa.
He glanced up from the floor plans.
All things considered, it's not bad.
Sorry, Ismi. She nodded from the other side of the desk. Callie was impressed how well the older woman was holding it together. She'd lost her husband, inherited command of Osiris, and the only sign she'd shown was that she'd cleaned her face. Jake seemed to be taking the loss of Wagid harder. Callie glanced around the table. Gordon had his lone deputy out walking the street. The other one had left last week for the tri-monthly back to Earth. Ismi and Jake, Tessa and her. Gordon had told them Lana was on the way but started without her after waiting for 10 minutes.
There's probably 3 more dead in the distribution warehouse, the sheriff said, gesturing at a dome on the map. But we can't confirm one way or the other. Roshan sealed that avenue pretty much as soon as he could. Their LPS chips say they're moving around, but we can't get hold of them.
Callie looked at the dome just out past the eastern arm of Luna City.
How many clients in there? About 2,000 on average, said Ismi. So that's 4% of the population dead,
Tessa murmured. Callie jabbed her in the side. Gordon set his hands on his hips.
Assuming Discorp leaps right into action, we're still looking at 3 days before a rescue team arrives. We need a plan to keep everyone alive until then.
Jake spun the map. Isn't there... He poked his finger at a large rectangle on the map just north of the city.
Discorp left a carrier up here a year or two ago, didn't they?
Gordon nodded half-heartedly.
Yeah, the Hathaway, a 50-50, came in about 20 months ago.
Couldn't we use that, get maybe 100 people off the moon?
Nope. Thrusters work, but its climbers took a hit. Can't connect back onto an elevator. That's why it's here. Discorp's been saying for months they'll send up replacement parts and a tech crew.
Besides, said Callie, how would we get 100 people out to it past all the zombies?
We could move it to the landing pad, Jake said. Dock it at Tereshkova.
And go nowhere,
said Tessa.
Nowhere might be better than here.
Tessa shook her head.
If it can't connect to the elevator, it means either getting trapped out in space, crashing on the moon, or burning up in Earth's atmosphere.
Ismi cleared her throat.
Perhaps we should try to look at some of the positives of our situation.
Okay, said Jake. Good things. They're just as slow inside as they were outside. They don't crawl, but they're not sprinting. Unless we get cornered, we should be able to keep away from them, and they don't seem to have much in the way of strategy past kill people.
Tessa cleared her throat.
The wave seems to be erratic.
The what?
Well, we don't know it's a wave. It might be some kind of particle, but whatever it is at Hades, the field it generates has surges. That's one of the reasons we've had trouble predicting when clients would become, active. It isn't expanding at a constant rate.
And that's good how?
Tessa's lips twitched.
Well, I mean, it's not good for us. It's already reached Luna City. But it might be good for Pluto, Lazarus, and Mictlantecuhtli. They might have days before it reaches them.
A lot of good it does them, said Jake. They're just all trapped out at their own bases.
Tessa gestured up at the ceiling.
It also means it might take weeks for the wave to reach Earth, or maybe just days if it speeds up again.
Earth? Echoed Gordon.
Well, yeah, she said. If it's just some kind of radiation, it's going in all directions. It might be very weak when it gets to Earth, but there's no reason to doubt it would reach it eventually.
Ismi stared at the map.
That's... Very slow for radiation, though.
It is.
Tessa's chin bobbed up and down.
It may have something to do with intensity, or maybe there are other conditions. We haven't done any sort of tests.
Gordon gazed at the map.
So we don't know anything about it, except it brings dead people back to life and makes them want to kill us. Any other good news?
They all looked at each other. Callie held up her bandaged wrist, turned it to show everyone.
It doesn't seem to be contagious, like the old movies. I'm totally clean.
That holds, said the sheriff. Looked like most everyone got choked or stabbed.
At least two necks broken, added Jake, and head trauma.
So whatever it doesn't travel through bites, said Callie. They're just killing people. It may not be contagious,
said Ismi,
but it's fast. How so?
She flipped one of her hands back and forth, showing the palm, hiding it, showing it.
People turn, transition, whatever you want to call it. It happens almost immediately, minutes at best.
Mendez didn't change fast, said Callie. It was, at least half an hour between when he stopped moving and we found him. Maybe closer to 45 minutes by the time we got in our suits and tried to move him.
Why didn't he turn sooner?
Jake shrugged.
Maybe he got a smaller dose of whatever it is.
Tessa furrowed her brows.
But Wagid got a larger dose 400 kilometers away? That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they don't react until there's something around them.
There's tens of thousands of them marching across the Sea of Serenity right now. What are they reacting to?
I don't know, said Jake. Maybe Mendez was just waiting to jump up and scare us.
He did a great job,
murmured Callie. Gordon coughed.
We got any more good news to add to this pile?
They're smart,
Callie said after a moment.
How do you figure?
She reached into the map and pulled the plaza closer.
Like we said, they're not just clawing at people or biting them. They're doing deliberate, specific things to kill us. Smashing heads, stabbing people, undoing seals on spacesuits.
Smothering people,
Ismi said. She wrapped her arms around herself.
Right.
Callie waited to see if there would be more from the new widow, then continued.
These aren't random actions. They have purpose.
Tessa nodded.
The screwdriver thing, that's full-on tool use.
Literally, said Jake.
No, I mean in an anthropological sense. That's seeing an object, recognizing it as something you can use, and then figuring out another use for it.
And it didn't stab him randomly, Jake said. Went right for his eyes, grab and stab, one in each. Very...
Very what?
Asked Callie. He tugged off his cap and then reseated it on his head.
Very professional. Seen a lot of men and women who went through combat training and can't adapt to a fight that fast. That boy, the dead boy, just walked up, grabbed the screwdriver and killed him. No hesitation at all. Great, said Gordon. So every single client on the moon wants to kill us, and they're all really good at it.
Not the clients out by Pluto Station,
said Tessa.
Not yet, anyway. They may want to kill us in another day or two, though.
So, Callie said, with smartness in mind, how could they get back in?
Gordon brushed something off his tab, and a full blueprint of Luna City spread out over the desktop, replacing the map.
We've sealed all the docks and all the avenues leading to them. No first-floor windows, and the ones up here on 2 and 3 are all 20 centimeters thick. They're not getting in that way.
Jake rubbed his chin. Any tools outside?
There's the usual stuff in buggies. Think there's a toolbox locked up out at the hopper's pad.
We don't have to worry about them rewiring the doors quite yet,
said Callie.
There's still sundown,
said Ismi.
Shit, said Jake. How long do we have?
Tessa glanced at her tab.
14 hours, 16 minutes.
Callie glanced at the blueprints.
Is sundown really going to make that big of a difference?
We don't have a ton of outside lights, said Gordon. It's going to be easier to lose track of them in the dark.
I think that's like saying it'll be easier to lose track of the ocean,
Callie said. Jake snorted out another humorless laugh. She's got a point.
Callie looked at the blueprints, then up to Jake. How would you get in?
What?
You're the most trained of us, right?
She glanced at Gordon, then back to Jake.
Military training, tactics.
Unless Tessa lied on her forms, yeah, guess so.
I have great qualifications,
Tessa said.
I didn't need to lie about anything.
Callie waved a hand at the blueprints.
What are we missing? What are we not thinking about?
Jake shook his head.
No clue. Anything I say would be going off a bunch of assumptions.
Make assumptions,
said Ismi.
Bad assumptions. We don't know anything about these things. They're smart, but how smart? Are they actually conscious, or is this animal smarts? We don't know if they learn, how long they last, if they need to eat brains or flesh, nothing.
They didn't try to eat anyone,
Callie reminded him.
Not yet. Maybe they're waiting for sundown. Jake shrugged. We don't know.
Tessa adjusted her glasses and pointed at the blueprints.
There are emergency manual overrides on all the docks.
Jake blinked. What?
That's how they got in before. As long as the avenue's not compromised, it's possible to unlock the doors from outside. It's in case the docking seals have an issue and there's a vehicle with an emergency. You can use the entire avenue as one huge airlock so people can get inside.
Callie glanced from Tessa to Gordon.
Will that override a hard lock?
I'm not sure, said Gordon. But the way the past 48 hours have gone, it wouldn't really surprise me.
There are safeties so things can't be accidentally released,
said Tessa.
They can still be deliberately released. It takes a bit of work, but it can be done.
We need to barricade the avenues, said Jake. Maybe weld the doors shut.
Except we need to be able to get out, Callie said. If the rescue carriers get here and we're completely sealed in...
We'll cut our way out.
Will we have time?
Gordon swept his fingers over the desktop and shifted the blueprints around.
I'm going to keep us at emergency status. Hopefully that'll keep people up in their rooms and off the streets. It's more doors between them and outside. If it looks like those things are going to get in, then we'll talk about welding the doors shut.
Ismi stared at the blueprint. Callie followed her gaze as it drifted down the blue lines of Chandra Boulevard to the end. To the mortuary. Jake's hand reached into view, tapped at a set of lines.
Is there a good welder in the city right now?
I don't know about good, but we've got two or three passable ones who can work fast.
I can weld,
said Tessa.
I took a repair class.
Three or four, then, if we need them, said Gordon. One other thing I know we've got to do.
Ismi woke from her trance.
What's that?
I've got one full-time deputy here right now. The worst he's ever had to deal with is domestic disturbances or drunks fighting at the hotel bar. We need more people. Ones who aren't going to freak out if those things get back in here.
Jake put up a hand and shook his head.
No, he said, not me.
Damn it, snapped Gordon. We don't have time for this crap. I know you've got some issues, but we've got a couple hundred people to protect, and if you need to pop one of them in the jaw to keep them safe, I can't be locking you up over that.
Jake gave him a tired smirk.
With only one deputy backing you, good luck with that.
Gordon grumbled, made some quick swipes on his tab, and flicked something at Jake. The other man's tab chimed.
Jacob Yazzie, you're legally deputized.
The sheriff slid another data packet through the ether, hesitated, and sent a third. Another chime came from Ismi's wrist, and one from Callie's. She glanced down and saw a digital badge rotating in the background of her screen. A few icons assured her it could go full screen and that she now had some executive privileges.
Welcome to the force, said Gordon. Hope we all live to see Thursday.